The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas, really in Texarkana, USA. I hope it's a pretty day where you are. Debbie and I got back last night from Little Rock, and she had met with the surgeon. It's 2 weeks post-op for her from her thumb surgery, her hand surgery. It was pretty involved. And it's amazing what those guys can do because your bones in your hand are really small. But she's in some pain because they've been kind of massaging and working on some things. But all looks good. We go back in 4 weeks for another follow-up. He said it would be, I asked him, I said, now, Doc, if Debbie played golf, how long before she could play? And he said, well, it'd be a full 3 months before you could go out and play. So I kind of put everything in those terms. Obviously, Debbie doesn't play golf, so she doesn't care, but that helped me understand how long it would take to heal. Well, I wanted to read to you from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25. This is after Cain kills Abel, and he deals with the consequences of that. And the Lord says to Cain, now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. And the Lord set it up to where they wouldn't do that. He said the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would kill him. Well, then it goes on to say this. After talks about Cain and Cain's wife, they have relations and things, but then it shifts. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I love that. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. Seth was a godly man. His son was a godly son. And his descendants began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the focus of today's program, calling on the name of the Lord. You might have seen where Donald Trump, to celebrate the nation's 250th year on July 4th, 2026, he's starting early with getting people prepared, and he wants to return prayer to the public schools. And Trump was had a rally, and Scott Turner was there, and they're talking about prayer in the schools. This is what he had to say.
For most of our country's history, the Bible was found in every classroom in the nation. Yet in many schools today, students are instead indoctrinated with anti-religious propaganda, and some are even punished for their religious beliefs, and very, very strongly punished. It's ridiculous. Joining us this morning is Hannah Allen from Honey Grove, Texas. A few years ago, Hannah organized a group of her classmates to pray for an injured peer. The school principal declared that Hannah's generous act of love was prohibited from taking place in front of the other students. To support students like Hannah, I'm pleased to announce this morning that the Department of Education will soon issue new guidance protecting the right to prayer in our public schools, and it's total protection.
The right to pray in our public schools. Every Christian should be for that. Well, obviously, because Trump is for it, every liberal is against it. And liberals tend to be against any kind of prayer. You know, separation of church and state, the ACLU, how dare they pray to God in school? How dare they force people to pray? Nobody's forcing anybody to pray, but we're calling upon the name of the Lord. If you want to join in, great. If you don't, that's your business. But because you don't want to do it doesn't mean it has to be off limits for everyone else. Now, for those that don't like President Trump and see him as, you know, just a great big charlatan, everything he does is a lie, and he's using the Christian community to somehow benefit himself. He wants to be a king, blah, 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 all the negative things. And, you know, we're too stupid to see through what's going on. He's making decisions, as you see on social media, people saying, I voted for this, I voted for that. He's keeping campaign promises. And one of the things that I love about him is he puts Christians in positions of authority. He puts men and women who unabashedly, unashamedly profess Christ as Savior and Lord, Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, Scott Turner, who is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Scott Turner was on staff at Prestonwood Baptist Church. Scott Turner is a solid, born-again, bold believer in Jesus. Well, Scott Turner was at the Museum of the Bible with Donald Trump, and he led in prayer. Now, Christians know this. You can tell when a person prays and they're connecting to God. They're actually praying to God. They're not just praying these flowery prayers that they read off a sheet, but they're actually praying to God. You know, when you talk to your father and you're close to your father, how many of us bring a prepared sheet to talk to our father? Nobody. If one of my daughters wanted, Dad, I really need to talk to you. Okay, well, I've written these things out and say all these flowery things to try and butter me up or impress me or whatever. I'd be like, put down the sheet. Let's talk. I'm your dad. You can talk to me out of your heart. That's what prayer is. We talk to God out of our hearts. Well, here is Scott Turner, and I get it. Listen, when you're praying and you're at a National Day of Prayer or something like that, I get that somebody would have some bullet points or some things to keep them on point. And you know, nobody wants to go up there, and all of a sudden your mind goes blank, and then you're like, So I get that, but we can tell when somebody's just reading words and when someone's really praying. The old story about this Hollywood party where this actor gets up and he recites the 23rd Psalm and everybody claps, and then a preacher does the same thing and it's totally different. And they say, what makes the difference there? His words had such power. Your words were just, you know, they just kind of bounced off our ears. And he said, the difference is I knew the Psalm. He knows the shepherd. And that's the difference. And when you pray, do you know the words or do you know the God to whom you are praying? Scott Turner, he knows the Lord. He loves the Lord. He follows the Lord. This was his prayer at the Museum of the Bible with Donald Trump behind him.
Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Lord God, we thank you that we can gather together as faithful people, as faithful leaders, as denomination leaders, as religious leaders. Father, we thank you for our president, Donald J. Trump. Father God, who you have anointed and appointed for this time, for such a time as this. Lord, thank you that the president prioritizes prayer. Father God, that he sees the power, the importance, the priority of praying together as a people, as a country, as a nation. Father, we in this place today, in this great museum of the Bible, Father God, we lift up our president. Lord God, we lift up his family. We lift up, God, our vice president, our cabinet, and everyone, God, who serves in this administration through all branches of government. Father, help us to be godly men and godly women. Father, help us to surrender to the power, to the presence, and to the will of God. And Lord, we pray this morning as we commemorate, Father God, as we call our nation to pray. Lord God, as we rededicate our nation to one nation under God, Father, we pray for your forgiveness. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would Lord, give us great favor and understanding, Father God, as we bow our knee before you, as we humble ourselves before you. Lord God, we thank you that starting even right now, that families will come back together. Yes, sons will return to fathers. Daughters will return to mothers. Yeah. Healing and revitalization will take place. New life will come to our nation. And Father, we're so grateful that we can stand in the nation's capital as a people of believers in this great institution. Lord God, in the presence of God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves. We thank you. And God, we know that from this day until on that great day, July 4th of 2026, when we celebrate 250 years, that Lord God, from now to then and forevermore, you will be glorified and honored. And Father, we pray for a sweet celebration. And Lord God, that all people of all faiths, Father God, will come together. Lord, not just Democrat, not just Republican, but all American people will come together under the banner of Yahweh, of God Almighty. Yes. And Lord God, we praise you and we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was Scott Turner, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I think we could say with the election of Donald Trump and what he is doing and the cabinet he surrounded himself with, the people he has surrounded himself with, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. We're doing that in government. Now, I like what my friend Rick Scarborough said. He said, you know, Trump is the tourniquet that has stopped the bleeding. But the church is the one, and that is the entity. Upon this rock, the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God wants to use the church to make the difference in America. And listen, we will not see revival come to America. What Trump is doing with reforms and law and order and returning prayer to the public schools and the Ten Commandments in the public schools, those are all great things. But until the hearts of men and women and boys and girls are changed, all of that is just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The ship will go down. The ship called America will go down unless there is a revival. That can't be dictated from the White House. That has to be from God's house, God's people. And when we get right, if my people, the Lord says, who are called by my name, if those folks will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, the Lord says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, the folks that say, well, that's a promise to Israel, that's not a promise to America, that's a promise to God's people. And no doubt God has put his hand upon America. He put his hand upon the founding fathers, as Benjamin Franklin said, Psalm 127, 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If we don't call upon God, this is a guy who wasn't even a believer, but he believed that God is a God who answers prayer. And he said, guys, we need to pray. And if we don't pray, all our efforts will be for nothing. Prayer is critical, and every Christian should be excited that Donald Trump recognizes that prayer is critical, that he surrounds himself with people who know the Lord, who pray, people like Scott Turner. That makes all the difference in the world. I still remember hearing a statement by John Hagee, and he said, Little prayer, little power. Some prayer, some power. Much prayer, much power. And prayer is not something that we need to beat ourselves up over, saying, oh, I'm so terrible, I don't pray enough, I need to pray more. Be encouraged and use the opportunity that we have now to call upon the name of the Lord. As the psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Well, we're talking about the subject of prayer on the program today. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26 tells us about Seth and his son Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Have you called upon the name of the Lord today? God loves it when we call upon him. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. God bends down, his ear is to you and to me and to those who know him. Therefore, the psalmist said, I will call upon him as long as I live. Now, we, under President Trump's leadership, we as a nation, he wants us to return to prayer in the public schools. We want to have the Ten Commandments posted again in the public schools. People, unless you're blind as a bat, you recognize that our society is disintegrating. The home disintegrates and the school disintegrates. I was talking to an educator, retired educator, and I said, the public school teachers and administrators, they see firsthand the devastating effects of the home disintegrating, because then kids are angry, kids are fearful, kids have all sorts of problems. The home is not a safe place anymore, and they come to school and they don't know how to behave because there's no discipline in the home. It's just it's a disaster. And so we have to return to law and order as a society. We have to return to law and order in the schools. This is acceptable behavior and this is unacceptable behavior. How are we going to do that? Well, we have to return to God. You know, as John Adams said, we have a constitution that was constructed for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Why is that? Because if you don't have an internal check and just a basic fear of God and a basic sense of this is right and this is wrong, and I'm going to conduct myself in a way that would not be dishonoring to God, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to rape and pillage and violent crime and murder and all those things that we see our streets just filled with, that we see in our schools, with such disrespect and the violence that takes place on our public schools across America. You know, you can't have enough police on the rail system and walking the streets of major cities and all those things. They're just not enough. So there has to be a return in our hearts to the Lord. And, you know, when the Lord is a gentleman, and when we say to the Lord, we don't want to acknowledge you anymore, even though they knew about God, Romans chapter 1, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. They rejected God. They'd rather worship birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. It's just sickening. And God says, okay, you don't want me anymore? Well, then I will excuse myself. I'll let you have it. See how that goes for you. Well, we've been seeing now for many, many decades how that goes when you kick God out of every vestige of public life. It doesn't go well. And to Donald Trump's credit, he sees that we need to return to the Lord. Now, he's an unlikely hero because of his checkered past. And, you know, the Apostle Paul had a checkered past. I'm not trying to say Trump is the Apostle Paul, but Saul of Tarsus was a terrible guy. And yet the Lord taps him to say, hey, I want to use you. You're going to be my trophy of grace. You're going to be the greatest Christian who ever lived. People are going to look at you and say, that is a testimony of what God can do in a life. And Christians need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for our vice president. Do we approve of everything that comes out of their mouths and the way they communicate? No. But we like what they are trying to accomplish. We like the direction they are going in. They're not going to do everything right. Trump is not infallible by any stretch of the imagination. So if you want to just find things wrong with him, then you can do that. But these armchair quarterbacks that talk about, well, he didn't do this right, didn't do that right, didn't do the other right. It's like, well, it's easy to criticize. You can always find something to criticize. You can criticize your pastor. He didn't say this, or he said this and shouldn't have said this, that, or whatever it might be. He wasn't at the hospital long enough. He didn't go visit this person. He didn't do this. You can find all those things to criticize. But the question is, what are you doing? Not what he is doing or not doing. What are you doing? And, you know, one of the things I mentioned yesterday, I believe, we were talking about, these liberals that, or it might have been Monday, but put your money where your mouth is. So you want to do all these things. You have all these noble ideals, but you're not, as Milton Friedman said, how come these noble causes that the liberals go for? We're going to eradicate crime. We're going to eradicate poverty. We're going to eradicate, and we're just going to throw all this money at it. And it just, California is a great example. Gavin Newsom, a great example. It just gets worse. War on homelessness. They have more homelessness now than ever before. And it's just so out of control and is ruining everything for everybody. And we say, well, why does that not work? And as Milton Friedman said, it's because you're using someone else's money. And you're taking money by force from people and giving it to other people. And it's not your money, and you handle your money differently than you would handle someone else's money. You're a lot more careful with your own money than with other people's money. Now, I saw a clip with Mark Cuban, and he was on a panel, and Tucker Carlson calls him out on this very thing.
Mark, let me ask you a question. What's your take on whether we should be sending money to Ukraine or not? Were you in favor of that?
Man, they need it.
I mean, honestly, I don't have a good answer. You know, I can make an argument both ways, and half my family is Ukrainian from my grandparents. And so, you know, personally, I think we should help, but I don't have a studied answer for you.
How much money have you sent to Ukraine?
None.
Oh, so what do you mean by we? You're the one whose family's from Ukraine. Like, why don't you send them $1 billion?
Because I'm trying to fix healthcare.
Well, why don't you fix their healthcare if you're, like, so deep? If you think we need to help, why don't you start? How about you first? Yeah. I notice that's never, like, even an option for anybody. It's like, we need to help. That's not what charity is. Forcing other people to help is not charity.
Here's
it's
the good
vanity.
News.
So Tucker calling him out. How much have you sent to Ukraine? You're a multi-billionaire. How much have you sent, Mark Cuban? None. Well, what's this we need to help business? Yeah, you always want to help with somebody else's money. You know, why socialism doesn't work, I think it was Milton Friedman that said this, the socialism doesn't work because you eventually run out of other people's money. And then it's Disastersville, and then poverty hits, and it's just a horror show. That's what it is in Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, all those places that adopted that. It's just a disaster. And as history shows, socialism, communism produces so much death. It is awful. So we want to get back to personal responsibility. We want to call on people to, you want to help people, then help them. But do it with your own money. And don't force other people to do all these things. And all these government projects and you know, the USAID, oh, we're giving all these millions and millions and millions of dollars. Those things are ineffective. and they cost a lot, and you get nothing for it. I was thinking about that with Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel spent $700 million on their big rebranding, and now they're going back and changing everything back to the way it was. How in the world does the CEO, who has a $700 million swing and a miss, keep her job? That is amazing to me. But it's just a disaster. And, you know, well, let's try this. This might be cool, a social experiment, this, you know, stepping off the plank of where wokeism leads you. It leads you to financial ruin. It leads you to disaster. Well, getting back to the prayer aspect of what we want to talk about today, Caroline Leavitt was asked about Trump's prayer initiative, and you know, she handles herself so well. She's not even 30 years old yet, 28 years old, whatever she is. She is amazing. Now, she loves the Lord. She calls upon the Lord. She makes no bones about the fact that she loves Jesus Christ. And so it's just such a breath of fresh air from what we had the last administration with somebody who is an avowed lesbian and would lie like there's no tomorrow. I mean, it's just insane how she lied through her teeth. Caroline Leavitt handles the criticisms well, and she doesn't let herself get steamrolled by those who just criticize and want to tear down.
Yesterday you talked about the importance of the Bible in America and the importance of prayer in America. Some people have criticized him for that in stating that he's espousing Christian nationalism. Yet the president has called on the American people to band together in praying for this nation for people of all faiths. How important is that to the Trump administration, and are there guidelines for implementing that?
Well, last time I checked, it's not just Christians who pray, it's people of all faith who pray, and that's what the president wants to protect, the religious freedom for Americans of all faith, and he spoke about that yesterday, and that's why he was very proud and excited to announce this new initiative, Pray America, encouraging all Americans to pray for our country and the goodness of our country leading up to America's 250th birthday next year.
So we want people to pray. Well, what if you are praying to Allah? Allah is not God. Allah is the name of God for a Muslim. Well, that's a false God. You know, people say, hey, we have these sirens that blare, you know, at the time of prayer for the Muslims. Do we want that? Of course we don't want that. That really doesn't infringe on other people. I have to listen to that. I don't want to listen to that. When we have prayer in public school, if you don't want to participate, don't participate. But we're not blaring something into your ear. And, you know, you always go back to 1 Kings chapter 18 when you think of the true God versus the false God. The devil always has false gods. He never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. He's always going to have another Jesus whom we have not preached. He's going to have something out there that is going to rival, in the minds of the hearers, the true God, because he is a perverter of the truth, and he is a liar and the father of lies, and so he's always going to have a false gospel, he's going to have a false Jesus, he's going to have these false gods and these false religions. That doesn't tear down the Bible, that doesn't show that the Bible's not true, it just validates the fact that the Lord said, you are going to have that, and the Bible is clear from Genesis to Revelation. False prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Well, in Israel, during the time of Elijah the prophet, Baal worship was off the charts. It's not that they rejected God just outright. We don't follow God. We just follow Baal. They were hedging their bets, so to speak. Well, we want to follow God, but we want to follow Baal. We want to make sure that we have all our bases covered. And Elijah the prophet said to him, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Baal is God, well, then follow him, serve him, fear him. But if God, if the Lord, Yahweh, is God, follow him. And the people didn't answer him a word. And he said, let's do this. He said, I alone am left of a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the people said, the same people who didn't say a word when he said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions, when he proposes that contest, the people said, that is a good idea. Let's do that. And what happened? Well, you found out who God was. Baal is not God. They called upon Baal from the morning till the evening sacrifice, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They called upon Baal. Oh, Baal, answer us. And Elijah began to mock them. Maybe your God, he literally said this. He said, maybe your God's in the bathroom. Maybe you need to bang on the door. Maybe you need to yell louder. And they started to yell louder. And then they started to cut themselves with lances to let the blood flow. But there was no response. And the Bible says, when midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, 3 o'clock. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. You know why? Because Baal is not God. There is only one God, and his name is Yahweh. And the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Jesus is God in the flesh, the God-man. As much God as though he were not man at all, as much man as though he were not God at all. Very God, a very God, very man, a very man. And we worship and serve him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the importance of prayer. Now, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of the power of prayer, we would love to hear from you. Because listen, how God has worked in your life can really make a difference in someone else's life. So give me a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the power of prayer as Donald Trump wants to get our school children and our public school system back to praying and having prayer in school like it was for so many decades in America's founding since the beginning. We prayed in school, and we would read Psalms, and we would recite the Lord's Prayer, really the model prayer from Matthew chapter 6, Our Father who art in heaven, and you know the thing. And we would do that. And, you know, if people got bent out of shape about it, so what? this is America. This is how we were founded. Read all the founding documents, as David Barton has done, and my friend Bill Federer and others, and you find prayer is all over that, an appeal to Almighty God and how we are one nation under God. As President Trump said, we've always been one nation under God, and those who are trying to hijack America and make it into something that it's not, well, we want to go back to our roots and back to the foundings and back to the Constitution, and let's run the country that way. Well, the power of prayer. You have probably heard of the Fulton Street Revival from 1857. It was led by a man named Jeremiah Lamphier, and he was a businessman. And he started a noon prayer meeting at his church, and just it was on a Wednesday. Hey, we're gonna have prayer. Anybody who wants to come, we're gonna pray. And come when you can, and leave when you have to. And it started out. That first meeting had six people, but they kept praying and they kept meeting. And that started in September. And by November, it had 2,000 people. And the Lord used that. It was prayer and it was testimonies, and it spread from New York to Boston to Philly, even to London. And the evidence that the Lord was at work is people's lives began to change. And that was the Fulton Street Revival. It was rooted and grounded in prayer. Then you had the Welsh Revival, Evan Roberts. That began in 1904. And what was the backbone of the Welsh Revival? Prayer. And they began to pray. And Evan Roberts would preach just simple sermons, and there was prayer. It was the critical component, and people's lives began to change so much in Wales that this is kind of funny, that the coal miners, they had to reteach their donkeys because and their mules because they cussed so much that that's how they got them to work. And then the men who had come to Christ, they stopped cussing, and then the animals didn't know how to respond without those cuss words. Bars had to shut down. Police had nothing to do. The court system was shut down, so to speak, because people weren't committing crimes because genuine revival had taken place. And what brings genuine revival? Prayer, as we call upon the name of the Lord. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, brief testimony of the power of prayer, we would love to hear from you. And we have Jordan on the line from Texas. Jordan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Jordan?
Oh, I'm driving to see my first patient. Okay. I was telling the call screener that Margaret Thatcher was the one that said,
yes,
that socialism is a great idea until you start run out of the other person's money.
Yes.
But my testimony was that about 3 years ago, I was just flipping through the channels and I came across Alistair Begg, and he was talking about Solomon and the book of Ecclesiastes. And so I went home that afternoon and I read the book. I read the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the most profound thing happened. I realized that my life absolutely meant nothing without God. And it's been different ever since.
Mm.
Organized religion kept me from God for the longest time. And it wasn't until I realized that it was a personal approach to Christ, a mm-hmm. personal approach to Jesus, that I was lost until then. And so I've always got a soft spot in my heart for Pastor Begg. I mm-hmm. think he's a wonderful man. I don't have anything to say other than that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great preacher, and God's used him in great, great ways. You know, just recently retired from the from the pulpit of his church, but not retired from the ministry by any stretch of the imagination. But that's a great testimony, Jordan. That's the power of the Word of God. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, when we talk about Truth for Youth Bibles, when we talk about the Gideons and getting the Word of God into people's hands, and if they will read it, and read it with a mind that says, God, I don't know if you're real or not. I don't know if Jesus is your son or not, but I want to know. And we direct people always to the Gospel of John, because John said, these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you would have life in his name. So that's the purpose of John's writing in the Gospel of John. So we always want to tell people, hey, if you start your Bible reading, start in the Gospel of John. Now, you started in Ecclesiastes. The Lord can use any part of his word to lead people to Christ. So thank you for that testimony, Jordan. God bless you, my brother, and I appreciate you watching the program or listening to the program. We have Pat on the line from Texas. Pat, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff. I was on hold yesterday and didn't get through. I was listening very intent to your program yesterday. Can you lose your salvation? I was in the camp that said, yes. Mm-hmm. And you convinced me with the scriptures. Many had told me those same scriptures, mm-hmm. but it's the way you developed the study. Mm. So thank you. Oh. Thank you for opening the door. I appreciate it.
Oh,
I appreciate
so
it so very much. And I hope that many, many, many that were in the camp that I was in heard you yesterday and realized what the truth is. Mm. I just can't thank you enough. I listen to you very as often as possible. And again, I just want to thank you. I can't say it enough.
Oh, you're so sweet, Pat. Thank you for calling and sharing that with me. Yeah, here's the wonderful thing about that, because if you believe you can lose your salvation, then there it puts an uneasiness in every heart that, maybe I've lost my salvation. Maybe I've sinned myself out of the family of God. You know, I make one bad step and God's going to say, that's it, I'm done. And so it leaves you with this question mark. It leaves you with an uneasiness and a fear that doesn't need to be there. You know, the Lord wants us to know that we belong to him, and he wants us to be secure in our relationship with him. Think about how I have three daughters. If I would put them in doubt about whether I was their dad or not, all their growing up years, whether I was going to continue to love them and keep them in my care and protection and provision, well, that would have been devastating to them. And you talk about being a hypochondriac and having all kinds of anxieties and things. No, I told them, you belong to me. You'll always belong to me. You can rest in my love. Dad is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And, you know, no matter what you would possibly do, you'll always be my child. Now, some say, well, you know, if you believe once saved, always saved, then you can sin all you want. I love Adrian Rogers' response to that. He said, well, I sin all I want to because I don't want to. How do you know you're really a Christian? Your attitude towards sin changes and your desires change. As I had one Bible study teacher used to say, your wanter changes. What you want now is you want to follow the Lord. You don't do it perfectly, but that's the desire of your heart, because the Lord comes to live inside of you and you want to please him, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all to the glory of God. And a true Christian wants to obey his Father and wants to glorify his Father. And so we don't want to sin, but we know that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Well, we have Cassie on the line from Texas. Cassie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning. Thank you. I just had a call in because the topic of prayer, I was telling the woman who answered the phone, I just met again for the first time in the fall, my small group ladies Bible study. We take the summer off, and it's just a wonderful group, about eight of us, and they decided that we're going to do the study about when you pray, this book. Mm-hmm. And it's a study of six prayers in the Bible with six different female authors. And I said, isn't that something? And I was so excited because my New Year's resolution was to go deeper in prayer. And then they didn't even know that. Then they picked this book, and now you are talking about it on your show.
Yeah.
And I was like, something's interesting about this. But yeah, anyway, I'm
a
stoner. I go to the coffee shop, and I do my homework, so I'm just headed there now, and it's actually a lot of work with the study, but it'll be good. It'll be good.
Yes.
So I just wanted to encourage you. I love your show as well.
Oh, thank you, Cassie.
Yeah.
I appreciate
that
so
your
much.
Wife, yes.
Yeah. Okay. What city are you in?
I'm in Garland, Texas. It's just outside of Dallas, like 10 minutes to Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just north of Dallas. Yes.
Well, if you ever make it east, come see us.
Where are you in? Where are you, Arkansas?
I'm in Texarkana, Texas.
Oh, Texarkana. That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
We make it east. My husband's from Boston, so we.
Oh, okay.
That's a really east. that's not Texarkana, but no. We go up there quite often. Yeah, and I share the gospel up there as best I can. It's not easy. My heart is evangelism and missions, and all my family, and both families grew up Catholic, so.
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever it is, what it is, as they say.
Yes, very good. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for your encouragement, and thanks for that testimony. And may God bless that study and develop you into a great prayer warrior. I want him to do that in my life, too. So God bless you, Cassie. We have Robert on the line from Louisiana. Robert, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How you doing?
Doing well, Robert. How are you?
Doing for myself. Still praising God. With you the other day, briefly, when you were with Bert, and the prayer was, and the AFA family had actually prayed on this, and my wife having a surgery done on her larynx, and we had to wait on pathology, but everybody was praying for her, and we came back non-malignant, and we believed for that, and it happened. Praise God, and to him be the glory for that. I want everybody to understand that not only is it the power of prayer, which is awesome privilege to have to intervene and to let the Holy Spirit intercede for us, because sometimes we don't even know what we're praying for, but we do it in faith that we believe that God is listening and that God has an answer, that we are going to be the ones, regardless of what happens, that are the beneficiaries of Him and what
right.
He does. He does all things for good. We are not by any means being left out, but that we believe that God is on our side and wants to do these things. But we have to believe. We have to do it in faith. We can't just say, hey, God, would you do this, and then walk away from it.
Right.
We have to stand on it and believe it.
Yeah. Well, one important to remember is that the point of prayer is not just to get your prayers answered. It's to draw near to God. That's why God doesn't just, you pray and immediately, I prayed a 5-second prayer and boom, I got this and I got this and I got this. That's not the point of it. The point of prayer, obviously, we bring our requests to the Lord, but it's to draw near to God through prayer and to express to Him that we need Him. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Prayer shows that you depend upon God, that you need God, and Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. And God loves it when we call upon His name. He loves it when we bring our needs to Him. He loves it when we cast our cares on Him, because He cares for us. And so it is a great privilege to call on the King of the universe, the God who loves us, and the God who does answer prayer. And we call upon Him and bring our needs to Him. So thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call. I appreciate that testimony. Marty, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. It is such a joy for me to be able to host this program on American Family Radio, to be able to talk to you every morning. Tomorrow, we're going to remember those who died on 9/11. It's the anniversary of September 11th, and what went on that day was so horrific. And so we're going to think about that. We don't want to forget, and we don't want to lose our vigilance as a nation. There are people that are out there to destroy America, and we need to stand up for what is right, what is true. So thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.